go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us today. Lord, we are grateful and thankful for the opportunity to meet together and to fellowship and allow you to use us to encourage your body as you are the head of this church. And Lord, again, it's a privilege. It's very humbling to be a pastor and be used to influence and teach your children, for this is your church. These are your people. It's not my church. These are not my people. Lord, it's a fearful thing to be before your children. Ultimately, Lord, we want you glorified. We want to be conformed to your image. I do not know where everyone's at spiritually or emotionally right now, Father, but you do. You know exactly where your children are. And Lord, I ask that you would take this lesson and just get me out of the way and teach your truth through me to speak to every individual's heart and lead them closer to you. And Lord, allow all of our walks to be seen, like Ephesians 5 says, that we would walk in love and be the representatives of Christ that we ought to be. Thank you, Father, for this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be going over kind of an interesting facet that the Holy Spirit has. When we accept Christ as our Savior, I mean, several things happen instantaneously. It's amazing, it's miraculous what happens. I know, and rightfully so, we think about when we trust Christ as our Savior, we're transferred from the kingdom of darkness into light, we're going from hell to heaven, and that's fantastic. But many more things accompany that. We become God's children. We have significance, we have purpose, we have meaning in His body, and to be used for His honor and glory. And one aspect that the Holy Spirit gives to us when we're saved, when we accept Christ as our Savior, is this wonderful ministry, this wonderful position of being a bride. Being a bride. Now, sometimes, for a dude, for a guy, it might be hard to think like, man, I'm a bride? Absolutely. You are. We are. And so, and many times when we look at Ephesians chapter 5, and we use it for husbands and wives, and we look sometimes down on the physical, but ultimately the mystery Paul is explaining is Christ and the church. But the main context isn't husband and wives. The main context is Jesus and His bride. And He uses human analogy and human terminology for us to go, okay, I can see that. Now, obviously, you apply the husband and wife part of it, absolutely. But as we'll see when we read, Paul is saying, listen, I'm teaching you a mystery, but the main context is Christ and His church. So here in Ephesians chapter 5, we'll look at verse 22. Now, again, I want us all to look at this as a bride to Jesus. As men and women, as a bride to Christ. So at the end of the day, what I'm thinking bare minimum as a born-again believer, this is what Christ has in mind, had and has presently in mind for us even today. So 5:22, wives, be submissive to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head and Savior of the church, which he already clarified in chapter number 1. As a church, which is His body. Verse 24, but as the church submits to Christ, so also let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, before we can even get into the believer's life, the number one thing we have to come to grips with is submitting, is yielding my rights. When you get saved, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you have no more rights. You are bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are bought and paid for by His precious blood. You are no longer yours. And that's a hard concept to grasp at times, is to submit, to yield over. Romans chapter 6. I'm going to yield my members now, my body, my heart, which is here, my heart and my instruments, my body, to Jesus Christ. I am created in Christ Jesus unto good works, the works of Christ. And that means I have to yield and submit what I have in mind and what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. Now, it's a joyful thing. The best picture we have is, if you look in the Old Testament there in the Gospels, and you see Jesus walking his life unto God, he is submitting. Now, we believe that Jesus Christ is God, correct? But as a man, he's showing us exactly how to submit to the Father. He said, I always do those things which please the Father. Him and God the Father were in line. Yielding, submitting. So you see what a walk looks like when you're reading Christ. Now I understand it's Old Testament. Christ is fulfilling a prophet, priest, and king. I get that he's coming to the Jews to be the Messiah. I get all that. But you can still see what a yielded life looks like. Look at Paul. Look at Paul, what he did. He was so zealous in the law that he was killing those of the way. Born again believers. And then he gets saved, and what happens? A total 180. Now he's preaching the very God and salvation plan that he was killing prior to that. I had a point to this. It just left my mind right now. It'll come back. So as Christ is showing us here, number one, you have to submit to what God has. You have to. Many times we think about submitting as God is going to call me somewhere. No, He's calling you here and now to live righteously, to do that which is right, to that which is godly. Everything that you think you're going to do when you go somewhere, he wants you to do that right here, right now. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. What's that love look like? And gave himself for it. So we'll stop right there. So Jesus understood to the Father. Amen. Jesus understood to the Father, I have a purpose. I know why I'm here. They already knew this before the creation of the world, what was going to happen. They already knew. And they still fulfilled that which they knew. They went through with it. Jesus knew that with him dying on the cross, it was going to usher in a mystery that was going to be given to Paul to teach the Gentiles. Peter wasn't privileged to this mystery. From Acts 2 to Acts 8, there is an 8-year gap where Peter was preaching salvation by grace through faith, but it was accepting to the Jews as the Messiah. For 8 years, the Jews only had the gospel. Crazy, isn't it? Paul was the one to explain it's Christ into the hope of glory. Paul was the one to explain really what the church was and how the purposes and how it wants to be ushered in. That was Paul's job. So as Christ is teaching Paul, and Paul is teaching us, we're going, okay, now I see how we're a body. Now I see how everything's coming together. Now I see I need to submit. I'm understanding now what a marriage looks like. I can see it now. I'm understanding. I got to submit, and I got to show sacrificial love. Love is not an emotion, correct? Isn't it amazing people talk about falling in and out of love? You can't. There's nothing to fall in and out of. It's unconditional self-sacrifice. Whether the person that I am doing the right things for gives it back or not. It's not based on what I'm getting. I'm going to tread lightly here, okay? Sometimes people really mean well. So I love that they mean well. So thank God for them. But what can happen is we start looking at things this way. I'll love you if you respect me. And if you respect me, I'll love you. That ain't in Scripture, folks. I have a love language. It's called the Bible. Yeah. It's called Scripture. It's called Jesus. Now, again, I'm all for that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, when you look at Scripture, you go, Jesus. I'll quote some Scripture right now. Here we go. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He never said, you clean your act up, then I'll die for you. Scarcely will one die for a righteous man, let alone the unrighteous. No, he came to save sinners. Because you're born that way. Not because you do things wrong, you're born broken. Not while we're yet sinners, he died for us. Man, that's unconditional love. You know that when you get saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption? When you accept Christ, we believe in eternal security. You can't be unborn. It's not born, unborn, born, unborn, born, unborn. No, you're born once. Hebrews is clear. He died on the cross one time. If he didn't do that, fulfill it one time, he would have to keep coming and dying, keep coming and dying. So when we say Christ died for your sins and you accept him as your Savior, he died for your past, present, and future sins. He is saving you the moment you accept Christ as your Savior. He's saving you right then and there, knowing what you're going to do next year. How humbling! We have two little infants in here. Oh, she was just here. She's gone now. Yeah. I am paying attention. Two little infants. Now you as parents aren't going, I love you now, but when you disobey when you're 13, I'm not going to love you. You're no longer my child. You ain't doing that. You love them now. They're born from you. They're yours. They can't be unborn from you. But I will say, soak it up while you can. No, they're not. It's not that bad. We don't think that way. And our Heavenly Father, there's not even a scale. There isn't even a scale. I can't even think of an analogy to show the perfect Father He is towards us. Now, why strive to be the most godly Father this world's ever seen? Not even a comparison to how our Father views us. Amazing. So, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So even as a man, I'm thinking how to love Christ and how Christ loves me. Now, what's the purpose of this? Verse 26. Here's the purpose, okay, of salvation, of this marriage ceremony here. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, there's a lot there. We'll kind of dissect this real quick. So that he might sanctify. The word sanctify means to set aside, to consecrate, to set aside for a specific purpose. Okay? So that's what this bride towards Jesus is supposed to do. Like what Dennis talked about. It's a called out. Called out of what? The world. What's the world? Thus the flesh, thus the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John. We're called out from the sinful acts of what society does. Now, you're in the world, correct? You're in society, but that system is not how you live anymore. It's not how we live. We're now set aside. We're sanctified. Unto who? We're set aside unto Jesus. That's what repentance is. When I accept Jesus, I am repenting. That makes sense? I'm turning from everything else and I'm accepting Christ. Now when I accept Christ as my Savior, when I turn to Him, it's to sanctify me. It's to set me apart. Unto who? Unto Jesus as my head. Now this is bare minimum. This is bare minimum for a born-again believer. So now, being saved, it's not I'm saved and then I go to work and I'm not saved. And then I get off work, now I'm saved again. And then I'm at this party and I'm unsaved. And I'm at this place and I'm unsaved. No, I am saved. I have to decide no matter where I go, no matter what I do, no matter where I am. That never changes. He wants to sanctify it. He wants to cleanse it. Now, this is interesting. Because just in passing, without looking at the Greek, you think, okay, it's the Word of God. It is, in a sense. Let's go to John chapter 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I'll give you a theme here on this washing. John 15, verse 3. You are already clean through the word which I have spoken to you. He's talking to his disciples here at the Last Supper. He says, listen, you are already clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Go over a couple of chapters to John 17, 17. This is actually the Lord's Prayer here, John 17, 17. The Lord's Prayer. He's praying to God. Look at what he says in verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. All right, so now we're gaining some ground. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Some background. Paul is explaining how they were doing some sinful things before. Verse 11. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here's how it is. By the Spirit of our God. So we're going to see the Word of God and the Spirit working together to wash us. Okay? We'll go over to Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. We'll do one more and we're done. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 23, 1 Peter 1, 23, for you have been born again, not from perishable seed, but imperishable through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So the Word of God being preached and then being received, when I receive that gospel, receive that word, it imparts to me that washing through the Holy Spirit. Right, so we're baptized in the Spirit the moment of salvation. Does that make sense? We're not going to get into all that right now, but that's how they're working together here in Ephesians chapter 5. So he's sanctifying it. He's cleansing it through his word, through being born again. That's how he's cleansing it. Isn't it amazing? So many times we want to do the opposite. We want to try and cleanse our outward stuff before we work on the inside. God's saying, no, you got to cleanse, let the inside, what happened inside, come out of you. Yield. Submit. And God will do the work through you. All right, back in Ephesians chapter 5. So as a man in a position of a bride, I'm understanding I want to submit to Christ. That Christ loves His church. Christ gave Himself for it. His desire is to sanctify it, is to cleanse it. What else do we see here in verse 27? And that He, which is Jesus, might present to who? Himself. a glorious church not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that should be holy and without blemish. So, I'm saved, and a purpose as a bride as I submit is this, is that I am to be one with Jesus, understanding that he wants to present me to himself without spot or wrinkle. That has the idea of like the world having a stain on you, an outside influence, an outside source, right? That's not what he wants. I'm set aside for a purpose. I'm set aside from the world, flesh, and devil, my three enemies, to now go on Jesus Christ and as a bride, allow him, yield and submit to him sanctifying me, cleansing me, so that he may present to himself, which whom he bought, a glorious church not having spot or wrinkle. So this is, if I'm wondering, okay, as a believer, as someone that goes to church, but you don't go to church, you are the church, Dennis made that clear this morning also. I'm glad we see eye on that. We are the church. So as a bride, the bare minimum that I think, okay, what should I be doing with my life as a believer? Right here. Just go to this. Okay, here's, if I ever get lost, or if I ever get sidetracked, what's happening? If I ever get confused and need a reboot, go to Ephesians 5 and say, okay, Christ has done all this for me. I'm a bride. He wants to present to himself a bride, not having spot or blemish. Okay. You got it. How is that done? Through his word. Through being born again. Okay. I'm understanding. Verse 28. So, what we just read with Christ and his church, in this way, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord cares for the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Ready for what Paul's going to explain? This is a great mystery, but I am speaking about Christ and the church. We'll stop right there. Make it pretty clear. He now wants his bride to separate themselves from their family, where they used to be, what they used to belong to, and now be joined with the husband. Move over here. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. That's the plan. That's the purpose. Ephesians 2, you were at enmity with Christ. You were dead in your sins. You had nothing to do with spiritual things. You were sinners. You were cast away. You had no hope, Paul says. But Jesus came, died on the cross, and offers a way of salvation. And when you accept that free gift, now you're married to him. Act like it. Act like you're married. Don't look at American average marriages, please. Look at biblical marriages, all right? Look at godly marriages. God is saying, separate yourself to your husband. As a man, as a child of God, as a man, I'm going to be separated to my husband, my king, my savior. And more I learn, the more and more I grow, the more and more I want to submit. The more I want to yield. The more I want God to just take over. I'm no longer worried about where I fit in because I'm a bride. I'm no longer worried about what groups that are going to accept me. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir in his kingdom. I'm no longer worried about this life, this world, this society. I don't care. I'm so infatuated with what I have in Christ, that the things of Christ are all that matter to me. And when I submit to that, He brings me friends. I don't have to try and win over. Isn't that exhausting to try and win people over in the flesh? You know it's not right, but you're trying to do it anyways. No. I'm going to stay on this path. I'm going to be hooked up with my husband. I understand that he wants to present me a certain way to himself. That's all I'm worried about, is pleasing him. And he, the one that we claim provides what I need. He provides what I need. I'm not talking about finances either. I'm not talking about health. I'm talking spiritual truths. Things that matter. Colossians 3. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. I start seeing this society and people a whole different way. There are groups of people that can get you really mad right now. And you look at it and go, they're not saved. That's what an unsaved person looks like. They need Jesus. So now my heart's turned from hatred and anger towards them. Now I'm burdened. I'm actually sad. People talk about solving problems. Are we witnessing to them? Are we saying, hey, I see your hurt? We have discernment. You're acting out what you know. You're an angry, unsaved person. But you know who loves you? You know who died for you? You know who can take this all away? His name is Jesus. I'm afraid that the louder and louder the silent, or the loud minority are, the quieter the church is becoming. There is a time in the Bible when Peter's preaching, and the priest said, hey, if you keep saying this, we're going to throw you in jail and we're going to beat you. Okay, go for it. We ought to obey God rather than man. If there is a time in society where we should be talking about Jesus Christ, it's today. It's today. I'm all for supporting our president. But I want to be more supportive of my king. And his message. I know the message of our president. It's loud and clear. It's clear as day. But so is the message of my king. His message is really clear. And when I focus on what God has for me, and I look at society through his lenses, can you imagine how it breaks God's heart? What's going on? I can't imagine. I don't even know. Can you imagine when he sees his bride wanting to be with someone else? How would you feel if your spouse went with someone else? Hello. That's idolatry. When the things that are spiritual have no significance or value or meaning, we're committing adultery as a bride to Jesus Christ. That's a fearful thing, isn't it? To cheat on that spouse. And when I don't see immediate repercussions or immediate punishment or immediate chastisement, I might push it even further. I push God's grace, and I push God's grace, and I push God's grace. That's a scary place to be. Because if your conviction starts going away, your conscience becomes seared and you're not even convicted anymore. As a child of God, as a bride, that's a fearful place to be. This is what amazes me about God sometimes. He will give you the desires of your heart, even if your desire is not Him. Has a parent ever done that? You don't want to give your kid what they want, but since they keep complaining about it, you just give it to them and shut them up. You give them the desires of their heart, even though it's like, hey, I know this is what they need. I told them no. But you give in because they keep saying, adultery, I want to go over here. You say, fine, just go ahead, have it. He He's out with his children. He'll let his children have, he'll let his bride have what they want, even if it's not him. How humbling! The more and more I see the love of Christ and his forgiveness, the more I don't want to upset him. Y'all doing okay? It's actually supposed to be an encouraging message. Hope it is. Okay, what else have we got? That was just the introduction. So here we go. So we see that in, Bob, where did I leave off at? Do you remember? Verse 28. Verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord cares for the church. Verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I'm speaking about Christ and the church. However, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So Paul is being used by God here to explain the relationship between a believer as a bride to Christ as the husband. But he also says, hey, you can take this and apply it physically, but the main message is the believer towards Jesus, because Christ is the head. So as I look at this, and I see that the Lord, says here in Ephesians, because the Lord cares for his church. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. Have you ever thought about respecting Jesus? Just respecting him. I'm going to respect my husband. Again, I'm a man to my husband. I'm going to respect my husband, Jesus. Speaking about the believer's life in this way can be kind of tricky, right? Because it doesn't come natural to our American way of thought process. But now think about this. In the context to the Ephesians at this time, they know exactly what he's saying. Right? In the context, when it's written to this church, they know exactly, that's like sirens going off. Jesus, or Paul, I know exactly what you're saying. You got it. I can see that. I understand. It makes sense. And I hope as we grow, and as we see the purposes that Christ has for us, as a child, we're many things, aren't we? We're a saint, we're a child, we're a bride, we're a church. We're so many things at salvation. Let's become experts in each one of those areas and just watch the overwhelming comfort and feeling, not feeling, yeah, I'll say feeling, of the Holy Spirit that we get. Just the encouragement, and watch God provide spiritually for us, because we're not even looking for it. I'm not looking for it, but I'm doing what God wants me to do, and it's happening as I yield. Where am I at as a spouse towards Jesus? Where am I at as a bride towards my husband? Only you know. If you say, Pastor Jesse, you know what? I'm doing well. I am right there with you. Praise the Lord. Stay there. Teach someone else what you learned today. Say, you know what, Pastor Jesse? I may have kind of gotten off a little bit. That's okay. Sometimes we get there. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants us back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. Lord, I'm really grateful for Ephesians and just how it sets the church up so beautifully. We see the unity here. We see the love. We see what you desire for your children to do. We see what you want us to do as a bride. Lord, sometimes it's, as we look at the Christian life, as a believer's life, we kind of get lost with how much there is out there. And sometimes when we just take time to dissect the small sections of Scripture, we can clearly see what you desire for us. Lord, allow our hearts to be turned to you. Those that are already walking on this path of being a proper bride, I want to encourage them to keep going that way. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep going. No matter how hard it seems, and no matter what all the good things you do seem for nothing, know they mean something to Christ. And that's all that matters. Maybe for some that might be here today, they can maybe have gotten off a little bit, that they would confess that sin and claim that promise that you forgive them. And welcome them right back, Lord, just perfectly, as if nothing ever happened. But I can't tell you how amazing it is. The more and more I learn and study and see and read, the more gracious and loving and patient and kind I see you. I'm so thankful for that. Lord, allow us this week to yield to you in whatever capacity in our life, whether it's to give the gospel, whether it's to pray for someone, encourage someone, no matter what it is, that we would be used by you to edify your body. And we'll thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.